Coming up on KUCB News, an Alaska's library renovation may go in a different direction than initially proposed, and Governor Dunleavy has removed the state's webpage about Alaska's new climate change policy. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Wednesday, December 5th, 2018. Federal officials have postponed today's meeting on the feasibility of dredging the entrance channel to Unalaska's Illilook Bay. A planning team with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers was scheduled to present the findings of a two-year feasibility study to higher-ups at their Washington, D.C. headquarters. But President Donald Trump has declared this a national day of mourning for former President George H.W. Bush, who died last week at age 94. That means federal offices are closed and meetings postponed. The Unalaska dredging presentation has been tentatively rescheduled for next Wednesday, according to Ports Director Peggy McLaughlin. She says it'll mark another important milestone in the project that, if approved, would remove a large bar in the channel and open the port of Dutch Harbor to more efficient shipping traffic. Tomorrow, KUCB will bring you more on the project, as well as the Army Corps' proposal to dredge to a depth of 58 to 60 feet. The architects designing Unalaska's library renovation are considering a new option. Rather than expanding the building south toward the senior center, as initially proposed, they're looking at expanding it to the north. Architect Brian Meisner proposed the idea last week while updating the community on the $4.6 million project expected to grow the library by about 3,000 square feet. KUCB sat down with Meisner to learn more about the plans, which are progressing now from concept drawings to final designs.
In starting the design, we asked the questions that we didn't ask before, and one of them was, what if we expand towards the parking lot? It put the circulation desk in the middle of the library. It put the noisy stuff, the teens and the children, over on the entry side rather than on the far side of the library. And it just balanced everything else nicely. It also maintained the ability to expand the other direction in the future. So it seems to have locked in pretty solidly this week on expanding towards the parking lot.
And does that idea allow for a larger public meeting space, something that we've been hearing a lot of interest in now?
Yeah, the meeting space is an interesting one. So when we were doing the pre-development work, there was a lot of talk about a larger meeting space and the fact that the one in here is not big enough for some of the events. But at that time, it was a couple events a year, two, three, four, that might have needed the bigger room. And we come back a year later, and now it's like a monthly. I think that what Karen's done and her staff have done with programming is taking hold, and that demand's only going to increase. So we're trying to figure out how that can be both a meeting room and a gathering space to support things like Dr. Seuss and the murder mystery that they recently had, and day-to-day be used for something. So I think that's going to be our challenge, is if we have it, it has to be used more than just once a month.
You've said that another challenge will be figuring out how to expand given the library's metal roof. And this week, a few Unalaskans have said, if we're going to do the work of expanding and building a new section of the roof in that process, why not go even further? While we're at it, why not just push out that sort of indented section at the northeast corner? Are you going to consider that?
We are. So we're going to come back with options that fit within the $4.5 million budget that was established. And we're going to come back with options that have that larger meeting space that fill out the whole front, because there's two things that are being said. One, if we're going to push that direction, we should build what we can in that direction now, because it's far more expensive to build a small piece there later. And then there's a layer on top of that of a desire for a place where you can be a little noisier near the entry and have room to sit, to Skype, or maybe even drink coffee. We have that question. Create a space that a private vendor could come in and serve coffee, either through a machine or with a barista. So we're going to explore those ideas and come back with options in January.
Until then, I understand you've created a website where community members can continue to offer ideas and feedback.
So we've set up a website. It's more of a blog, www.unalaskalibraryimprovements.com. It's a place where anyone can go and see the progress of the design. You can provide comments. There's a phone number to contact. There's a comment button to contact. And we'll also be putting a survey up there to ask some specific questions to help prioritize things like large meeting room and coffee, some of these things that aren't in the budget but that we'd like to get some of. So we're going to ask for help in prioritizing.
You will be back on island several times this winter to show Unalaskans how the plans are shaping up and to present to the city council. But when do you expect to have that final design done and ready to go to a construction team?
The overall design process has us going to 100% by October, and that allows us to get it out to bid over the winter so that construction can start a year from spring. So that will be good for people to know that there is an end game.
That was architect Brian Meisner speaking with KUCB about the design process for Unalaska's library expansion, scheduled for completion in 2021. You can see some of the current drawings online at kucb.org, and you can check for progress updates and complete design options at unalaskalibraryimprovements.com. As new Governor Mike Dunleavy takes office this week, the transition of power is also taking place online. The Alaska Office of Information Technology is going through the process of updating the state's website and editing pages with the former governor's name. That means websites you could access last week may not be available now. For example, the page with the state's new climate change policy is offline. Jeff Turner, Dunleavy's deputy communications director, said he doesn't know if the site will be restored. The administration is still discussing if that page will go back up. Former Governor Bill Walker appointed a climate change task force in December of last year to draft the policy, which was submitted in September. But team members said that wasn't the end of the process. They said the state must now figure out how to implement the strategies in the document. But during his campaign, Dunleavy said that the state has more important issues to deal with than those involving the climate change task force. Meanwhile, a new report out of the University of Alaska Anchorage has estimated that climate change will cost Alaska between $340 and $700 million per year over the next 3 to 5 decades. Report co-author Matthew Berman is a professor of economics at the Institute of Social and Economic Research. He says those dollar figures don't capture the significant disparity, though, between climate change's cost to urban versus rural Alaska.
It's not surprising that people in urban Alaska are not as concerned about climate change as people in rural Alaska. I mean, we all see it, but we enjoy the better weather. We don't worry about our homes, you know, that ground under our homes sinking and our home turning into a pond.
Some of the biggest climate change-related costs come from damage to rural infrastructure as permafrost thaws and coastlines erode. Berman also says the report's prediction of how much climate change will cost the state is almost certainly an underestimate. He says it did not tally several potentially expensive impacts because it's still hard to put a dollar figure to them. Those include impacts to fisheries, both from rising temperatures and ocean acidification.
Even though we don't know what the consequences are, they could be fairly substantial. In a sense, it's like this is a massive, uncontrolled experiment on people's livelihoods. We really don't know what's going to happen.
On the other hand, Alaskans across the state are already benefiting from lower heating costs as temperatures rise. The report estimates that'll lead to a savings of at least $100 million per year by 2050, significantly offsetting the overall cost of climate change to Alaska. UAA's findings were included in the recently released National Climate Assessment, which reiterates that Alaska is one of the fastest warming places on Earth. A baby tooth is deepening our understanding of how North America was first populated by humans. The long archived specimen from Northwest Alaska is the subject of new research by scientists in Fairbanks. And as KUAC's Lex Trinan reports, it's increasing their genetic knowledge of a people known as the ancient Beringians.
The tooth is from a 1.5-year-old infant who lived over 9,000 years ago. Jeff Rasick, a research manager for the National Park Service, identified it from bones gathered in a Seward Peninsula cave, which had been stored away in a Danish museum 70 years ago.
It's really sort of a lucky fluke that this tooth was preserved.
Rasek says the tooth remained archived in Copenhagen, Denmark until 2012, when a German graduate student's analysis of the bones put it on Rasek's radar, prompting him to conduct a genetic and isotopic analysis.
There just aren't other examples of very ancient human remains really anywhere in the Western Hemisphere. So there's just a handful from Alaska. A few have been subject to this kind of ancient DNA analysis.
The analysis confirmed that the tooth was closely related to the remains of inhabitants of an archaeological site on the Tanana River in interior Alaska. UAF archaeologist Ben Potter named those people the ancient Beringians. Potter suggests that modern Native Americans and ancient Beringians diverged from a common ancestor beginning about 35,000 years ago, somewhere in far eastern Russia. The ancient Beringians were the first to cross the Bering land bridge, while the Native American lineage followed and leapfrogged them to colonize the rest of North and South America. The ancient Beringians, according to this hypothesis, eventually died out, while the Native American lineage continued. But aside from genetics, they were the same as modern humans.
Totally modern, sophisticated people, modern in a sort of biological sense and a cultural sense.
The new study raised an intriguing question about the diets of coastal Beringians. Another study author, Matthew Wohler, a professor at the College of Fisheries and Oceanography at UAF, conducted the isotope analysis of the tooth, which provides clues about the ancient Beringian diet.
So the site is surrounded by ocean, and yet what we found chemically in the tooth was signatures that were more consistent with a terrestrial-based sources of food.
Wohler says that caribou and other small mammal bones from in the cave confirm the isotopic analysis. On the other hand, Wohler's previous analyses from the site in interior Alaska showed high levels of a marine-based diet. Wohler says he hopes these new discoveries and questions can help spur funding of more archaeological research in Alaska, which he finds increasingly relevant today.
The past represents a series of experiments that have been conducted, and you can kind of understand that, and it can help us project to how things might kind of go down in the future with future environmental changes in the Arctic.
In Fairbanks, I'm Lex Trinan.
And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.